The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Charles Barkley trending this morning. People this morning in People magazine on the website, Charles says, I haven't spoken to Michael Jordan in almost 10 years. He got offended when Charles Barkley said he doesn't surround himself with people, good people, good basketball people, and people that will tell him no, and people that will contradict him.
You're not saying Jordan has a grudge.
Yeah.
I mean, he carries a grudge, do you?
So, Timothy Bella is joining us right now. He's written the definitive book on Charles Barkley, the biography on Charles Barkley. He's interviewed more than 370 people, and he is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The book comes out November 1st. Timothy, welcome to the show. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. Did you interview Michael about Charles for the book?
I did not. I certainly tried, but I did not. And the sense I got was that he just wants nothing to actually do with Charles Barkley. He doesn't want to talk about him. He hasn't wanted to actually talk about him since that thing puts fallout. They had several years back, and it has weighed on Charles this entire time, and it's two stubborn dudes who just don't want to actually compromise.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm curious about Charles has always felt like a what you see is what you get type of guy. I mean, he seems like a relatively open book compared to, and some of that's probably because of the, you know, him being on the set. We've gotten to know Charles a little bit better. Did you find that? What was something that stood out that maybe surprised you in your interviews about Charles Barkley that you would not have guessed or you did not know?
Honestly, guys, it goes back to his lack of confidence in Leeds, Alabama. And I know it's that sounds shocking just knowing who Charles Barkley is now, but when he was growing up outside to Birmingham, this was a kid who was short and fat, and his father left him when he was only 13 months old. He was raised the actual projects there by a single mother and his grandmother, and this was someone who was just trying to find his place, where he fit in. And honestly, at first, he fit in actually stealing cakes down there in Alabama, him and his friend, the cake bandits, would actually go to his local grocery store every week and steal these cakes that were actually popped off. And it wasn't until the cops started to actually chase him down one night for stealing these cakes that he realized he needed to actually get his life in order. He needed confidence. He needed to actually find something. And that's when he started to focus more on basketball. So he just lacked a ton of confidence back then. And for anyone who knows him now, that's pretty shocking, I think.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Not the cake bandit part.
No.
But the confidence part.
The confidence part, yeah.
Not that part, no.
Timothy Bella with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What does Charles think of the book?
That's a good question. I have been, so before I interviewed a single person for this, I reached out to Charles and his agent, and they said they were 75% flattered, 25% very cautious, and ultimately they decided not to do it, and I tried to just be as transparent as possible about this whole deal with him and his team, his family members. And I have not heard from Charles, but I have heard from other people who have talked to Charles, who in the late stages of this process, they pressure to get back to you and say, you really wore Charles down throughout this whole thing. And yeah, I will actually talk to you. So while I did not talk to him, I got the sense that he was okay with it happening. And I am actually sending him a book right now. So he'll be getting it.
Timothy Bella with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What is the fun? Because there's a bunch of funny stories with Charles Barkley. What's the one that you like the best?
The one I probably enjoy the best is one of his bar fights. And it's actually not the one when he was in Houston, when he threw a guy through the window in Orlando. This actually happened years prior in Milwaukee when he was still with the 76ers. And it was a cold December night. He was actually walking out of his bar with a friend of his, and this group of bodybuilders actually followed him out, one of whom wanted to actually start a fight with Charles that night. He screamed out to Charles, "Hey, Charles, I hear you are a baddest man in the NBA. Well, show it to me." And Charles, understanding that he was going to get his butt kicked, decided to act as crazy as possible and stripped down to his boxers and his socks and just basically pointed to out crazy this group of bodybuilders who were definitely going to kick his butt that night in the Milwaukee. And one of those bodybuilders told me we could not do anything against Charles because we were so blown away how this NBA star had stripped down to his boxers when it was only 10 degrees outside. And Charles ended up actually breaking a guy's nose. He just punched him straight in the nose, and he yelled out, "There's a lot more to that where that came from." So the kind of stories of legends where you hear about these bar fights with Chuck and how they escalated so much, but that one still kind of stands out to me because he was really cornered, and when he got cornered, he stripped down and acted crazy, guys.
I know this one probably won't surprise you. I had a guy who used to work on my Achilles, a physical therapist, told me a story about he had been out with Charles, excuse me, one night. Actually, a few different nights. There was a time where Charles is the sun, and you orbit around Charles for a little bit, and then he moves on to wherever he's going to live next or do next. But this guy told me a story, and he said it happened more than once, and it didn't matter where he was, whether it was Las Vegas or Houston, didn't matter how swanky the party was or wherever he was. He would consistently end up drinking his Grey Goose vodka, and he'd go to McDonald's and get chicken nuggets. And that was like one of Charles, you could be in the nicest, limousine, but Charles was going to be a Grey Goose guy, and he was going to go get his chicken nuggets, and that's the way Charles is going to roll. Heard another story. It's amazing how many people have Charles stories, where he was in Milwaukee. Was at a strip club in Milwaukee. My friend from Philadelphia, they bought him. They happened to be there. They bought him. They say, "Oh, Charles, you know, he was a 76er at the time." They bought him and the table drinks, and then Charles at some point in the night went over, thanked him, and said, "I got a feeling I'm going to be sick and not play tomorrow." And I think he did end up playing, but was just terrible the next night. But apparently Milwaukee was one of his jams. Like, he really liked Milwaukee.
Oh, he's still a very big fan of that city. I mean, there were several bars he frequented out there. He had a bunch of friends out there. And the part about McDonald's totally checked out, too, because there were moments, especially in Philadelphia, where he would not practice, but he would instead be on a stationary bike eating McDonald's breakfast, eating these pancakes, and yelling at his teammates to actually run harder. during practice. So that checks out. And other story, too, ESPN's Chris Fowler told me that during a charity golf tournament, right afterwards, they had this big dinner they were on their way to, but beforehand, Charles had asked their attendee to actually go through the McDonald's drive-thru because he just wanted chicken nuggets and fries. So he's always had an affinity for fast food. He's cut down on it, but when the moment calls for it, he's good to go, guys.
Those stripes will never change. No. Never change. That is Timothy Bella, and it is coming out November 1st. I imagine you can get the book anywhere, right? It's just called Barkley?
Yep. Available now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, indie bookstores, anywhere, yeah.
Great stuff. Well, man, congratulations, and best of luck on the book, Tim. At Tim Bella, B-E-L-L-A, on Twitter. He's a staff writer, editor at the Washington Post, and he's written the book, Barkley. We appreciate your time. Congratulations and best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Timothy Bella right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know what? What do you think Charles would think of Liquid Death?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one because I'd love that if he was not drinking, he would love it because Liquid Death... Man, frankly, it makes you look like you are. It's amazing how many of you have sent messages saying that your kids drink Liquid Death, and or that you had it at a kid's party. You brought a cooler. I had one guy tell me he brought a cooler of Liquid Death for the other dads who were not drinking. And well, I guess they didn't have alcohol there. And he just said the looks from the moms. They had to tell people, look, it's water, it's sparkling water, or it's flavored water. Or it's mountain spring water. It's going to be one of the three, but and there's three flavors of the mountain spring, three flavors of the flavored water. It's like 15 to 20 calories, not much, but Liquid Death has some edge to it now. It's number one. It's called Liquid Death. Okay, that's your first sign. Number two, there's a skull on each of the cans, and then Liquid Death. The font is what I call like a heavy metal font, and I think you know what I'm talking about, what that looks like. And it's in a big tall boy can. So it looks like you're drinking not only a beer, it looks like you're drinking something that is extremely bad for you, only it's extremely good for you, and it brutally murders your thirst. And that's what Liquid Death is all about. You're going to hydrate anyway. Why don't you do it with water that's going to stay cold, that tastes great, and is one of the fastest growing companies in the country? Liquid Death. If you want to find out where Liquid Death is, you want to bring it to your event and see the eyes, the looks that you get, go to liquiddeath.com/bench, and you can put your zip code in, and they'll tell you all the places that sell Liquid Death, or you can always stop at a 7-Eleven, a Kroger, or a Target and find my friends over at Liquid Death.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.